Welcome to Dr. Carcast Automotive News Updates. We are going to look at EV chargers here for a moment and the need that is out there for level 2 and level 3 chargers across the United States. Now, remember, the federal government has stated or mandated that there should be 500,000 chargers out there by 2030, I believe was the number. Don't quote me on that one, but it was a big, large number and a lot of money being spent and thrown at it. Now, today, in 2022 terms, not 2023 quite yet, there were 126,500 level 2 chargers and 20,431 level 3 charging stations in the United States. Now, this does not include private personal chargers that are out there and or business chargers per se, but this is just out in the infrastructure. And when I say private businesses, I mean like your company has one out in their parking lot, not necessarily those. Now, the EV charger forecast looks like this. In 2022, forecast for level 2, level 3 was approximately 100,000 chargers. In 2025, it is going to be 700,000 level 2 chargers and 70,000 level 3 chargers. Now, let me put this in perspective to currently what's going on. Last year, in 2022, the growth of level 2 chargers only grew by 54,000 chargers. Level 3, 10,000. Now you look at the numbers between 22 and 23, that's 6 times the growth that we currently saw in 2022 in just 3 years' time. When you look at the graph and you look at what it's going to be needing in 2030, the numbers are like this: 2.1 million level 2 chargers. That's 11 times what are currently out there in the marketplace. It's a daunting number. And I say daunting because we're going to throw a couple of things at you here that we found in the news that relate to EVs and the growth factor and what can and maybe can't happen. We'll see. So now a day of reckoning is coming for EV battery raw materials. So raw materials are in such demand that, and get this, this is terawatt hours. The forecast market for terawatt hours needed by 2030 is 3.4 terawatts. Now, the output, and that is basically just for automotive, it does not include medium and heavy duty and micro mobility spaces, as well as consumer electronics and the demand for stationary energy storage. It doesn't include that at all. And the energy storage portion is huge, potentially. Now, the terawatt hours that were output for the auto industry in 2021, now this is not 2022, but in 2021 was 0.29 terawatt hours. And we're saying that within 8 years now, 7 years, we need 3.4 terawatt hours of lithium-ion batteries to be produced annually. Well, we've all heard about the EV tax credits and how the adjustments have come into play here in April, this past April, and we have word now that there is pretty much a solid footing for letting us know who does qualify and who does not qualify for their EV vehicles to get the $7,500 of tax credit for you, for I, if we decide to go buy an EV. Some of these are the 2023 Chrysler Pacifica plug-in hybrid, the Ford F-150 Lightning, the Lincoln Avatar Grand Touring, the Chevrolet Bolt and Bolt EUV, Cadillac Yurik, Chevrolet Silverado, Blazer, Equinox, and the Tesla Model 3 and Model Y. Those are the ones that qualify for the $7,500 tax credit. And then there's others that qualify for the $3,750 tax credit. Now, this is based on where the battery components and the battery materials are sourced. And again, currently it's at the 50% mark for 2023. And it continues to go up by 10% every year until we get to the 2030 mark. Well, in other news, Ford's Kentucky truck plant road tests a new quality strategy. This is a little different. They're driving the cars over 20 miles, the trucks that is, to find out if there's any issues. They want every button touched. They want every switch turned on. They want to find out that all systems are go on the trucks. these Super Duty trucks are so expensive, over $100,000 each on average, and there is so much profit that is generating billions of dollars annually for Ford that they want to make sure there's not recalls. Now, Ford last year was the number one recalled vehicle in the marketplace. It was staggering how many recalls they had. And continuously, week after week, we kept hearing about these. Well, Ford's saying if we touch these vehicles, if we go through them thoroughly on test drives of 20, I think it was 20 to 28 miles, then we can find out what the issues are and fix them before they ever get to the dealerships. Also, the problem there is not only the fix, it's the customer satisfaction that's really problematic for Ford and others with high recalls on their vehicles. Charging issues and pricing are prompting more shoppers to avoid EVs. That's right, it's ticking up as far as those that are least likely or less likely to buy an EV. In March, 21% of new vehicle shoppers surveyed said they're very unlikely to consider an EV, up from 19% in February and 18% in March. The percentage of shoppers who said that they are very unlikely to consider an EV has remained relatively flat over the past 3 months, landing at 27% in March. About 34% of shoppers said they are somewhat likely to consider an EV, and 18% said they were somewhat unlikely. So if you take the somewhat unlikely and the very unlikely and put those together, you end up at about 36 to 40%. That's going to cut into the switch over to EVs for sure. Tesla price cuts are threatening their image as a tech leader, according to sources. Tesla is widely perceived as the industry technology brand, but Elon Musk's new push to cut prices and move the metal may detract from that brand distinction. Tesla's EV market share fell to 58% in January through February of 2023 from 72% a year earlier. Honda surges, Toyota edges up, and Hyundai Kia posts double-digit gains in April of 2023. Sales are increasing, folks, as inventories gain on the forefront of the dealerships. Also, the transaction price is ticking up. Approximately, well, the numbers I'm seeing here in front of me are anywhere from about the low twos up to as high as 9% for Ford. Now, remember, Ford had a price hike continuously over their Ford F-150 Lightnings from an early $40,000 price to almost $60,000 for their base model. Meanwhile, the Volkswagen Group, they were the ones who stayed at the bottom with a 0.1% gain in their pricing. Now, these sales numbers look good for all these manufacturers listed here, but a lot of it is fleet sales. Well, Chevy expects under $25,000 Trax to become one of the brand's top sellers. The Trax, which is going to be marketed in June of this year, is to be the subcompact crossover with the lowest price in the market, just below $25,000. They're really focusing in on the younger adults and empty nesters, and it also wants to balance the vehicle's gender mix, which is skewed more heavily toward women. The brand says it anticipates about half buyers will choose the active trim or one of the RS trims in the Chevy Trax. Well, Bosch is to buy a microchip maker, TSI Semiconductors, and invest $1.5 billion into the facility. This facility is over 39 years old, and they want to upgrade it and make it available to build microchips for the silicon carbide chips needed for EVs. Now, these chips, obviously big demand, and Bosch has never manufactured in the United States, that is chips. And now they're coming stateside to build semiconductor chips here as part of the IRA bill, and they are looking now to find out what kind of subsidies they will get, federal funding opportunities they might receive from the federal government, and then they will solidify what they're going to do with the plant. Tesla's key to EV adoption? It's superchargers everywhere. They are turning their superchargers on so that almost anybody and everybody can hook up to the Tesla charging systems. They're one of the fastest and most reliable systems out in the network, although they are proprietary on their charging cords. So little uptick in cost because you're going to have to upgrade to that cord for the Tesla system to whatever vehicle you have. Obviously, if you have a Tesla, it fits. And then you will be able to charge quicker, more dependently, and you will get a better quality experience. One California user of an EV says, "Thanks, Elon. Please, can we have some more?" Well, when developing a nationwide charging network, it takes coordination across industries. That's what's causing a problem now for public charging stations. It's not only, and we've talked about this in prior news episodes, but it's not only the idea of finding a company that will make it, it's finding the utilities that have the time to source the power to those charging stations, wherever they might be, however remote. As we've mentioned before, you can trickle charge a truck, but it's like filling a swimming pool with a garden hose. You've got to have the volume of electricity, the amperage, to come down these lines in order to provide power for these systems so they can charge cars and trucks wherever they might be. So coordinating with the contractor, coordinating with the charging manufacturer, coordinating with the utilities, not to mention land use permits, all those things, it's a big handful. And despite the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act and the Inflation Reduction Act and the monies that have come down to help subsidize these chargers, it still takes time. Audrey LaForest says, automakers have aggressive rollout plans for EVs. Consumer interest is rising, and the Biden administration is aiming for a 500,000 site charging infrastructure by 2030. I said earlier, they need 700,000 according to estimates, about a tenfold increase from today. Many forecasters expect EVs to make up more than half of the new cars in the U.S. within the next decade because of the administration's zero emission goal and the EPA's strictest ever proposed vehicle emission standards. So again, it doesn't matter how much money we have. It matters how these things flow together, how the dominoes fall. Well, Freightliner unveils EM2, a medium-duty electric truck at ACT Expo. The EM2 is one of Freightliner's electric options for fleet owners hoping to make the zero-emission transition. Now, the Class 6 single motor has a typical range of 180 miles, and the Class 7 dual motor has a typical range of 250 miles per charge. That's perfect for around town. And Freightliner is getting a lot of interest in this vehicle already prior to production. Well, how does rear-wheel drive become an EV must-have? Volvo and Polestar have joined Tesla and VW in favoring rear-wheel drive over front-wheel drive for base EVs because they say it offers better performance and efficiency. Now, a lot of us grew up with rear-wheel drive vehicles. Loved them. I raced them. I have driven pretty much nothing else. Until we got the minivan, we got the Maxima, and the front-wheel drive cars come into play. Well, on an EV, one of the issues with traction and with any car, the back end of the car tends to get light. It doesn't offer the best performance and or efficiency. Get this. These numbers are pretty interesting. The power of the new Polestar 2 rear-wheel drive variant with a single electric motor increases to a high of 295 horsepower. It used to be 228 horsepower. And what they've been able to do is increase the size of the motor, and they've been able to put the battery pack and the motor closer to the rear, obviously, over the rear tires and a little bit further forward. And it also raises the torque to 360 foot-pounds from 243 foot-pounds. It's a huge increase. And not only in the efficiency of how the car drives and how it handles, but get this, the 0 to 60 time dropped by 1.2 seconds just by changing the location of the vehicle's motor and battery pack. So rear-wheel drive in electric vehicles, it's the go-to platform if you want to increase that performance. Ford swings to a $1.8 billion Q1 net income as sales and pricing rise. The first quarter revenue jumped 20% on higher volume and pricing. This is up from a $3.1 billion loss a year earlier. Why? Well, they kind of refinagled things and shook things up. They said, we know we're going to lose. We're going to lose, especially on the EV platforms, as we get those things up and running and get the infrastructure we need. And now they're seeing the profits. And finally, we want to point to a podcast we're going to have up tomorrow on Dr. Carcast with Nick Merrick from Green Beret Racing. Neat guy. He's a Green Beret himself. He's got a great organization that he runs, and I hope you join us. It was a great honor to talk to him about his program, and we hope that you tune in here at Dr. Carcast. Remember, you can catch us on Spotify, Google, and Amazon, as well as our website at drcarcast.com. That's drcarcast.com. And we welcome any of your insights and thoughts. You can email me also at Daniel at drcarcast.com. drcarcast.com. That's Daniel at drcarcast.com. Love to know your thoughts as we continue down this road together on Dr. Carcast.